And take your Bible center in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1 tonight. And one thing about the caroling yesterday, Brother Hammons did a great job of leading us, but when we were in the second area, Krista was given an instrument that was difficult to play. That piano was so far out of tune. But she did a great job of playing, and she got used to it after a couple minutes, but she did a great job. And so that piano hadn't been used, I think, in a couple of years. It was so far out of tune, but Chris did a great job of playing that piano there. That takes talent. It's one talent to be able to play a piano, but then another, when it's completely out of tune, to still play it, right? I think she changed a couple notes on there to make it sound in tune. I don't know. Maybe use the flats. I don't know, but she did a good job with that. But 1 John chapter 1, and I think I'm seeing a conspiracy today. I think everyone wants to make sure I'm done by 7 right here. Yes, amen. And this morning, I think everyone wants to make sure I'm done by 12, so we're moving along tonight. But tonight, we're looking at 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at the entire chapter. I don't know why the Lord's led me to just go over entire chapters in the last couple months, but there's only 10 verses long, and this verse tonight, and these verses we're going to look at this evening in this chapter, talk about the light. And tonight, over the last couple of years, I've preached on Jesus is the light of the world, and preached on a couple different ways, and how we can take the light of Christ to a dark and dying world, and how we can share the gospel with those around us and with the entire world. But tonight we're going to be asking another question, and I want us to ponder this. Do you have the light? Do you have the light? And tonight we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read all 10 verses here tonight. Some of these verses will be familiar to you, but some perhaps you never connected them in the same chapter. And verse number 1 in God's Word says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew it unto you, that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with this message tonight. And Lord, as we come on this Christmas Eve and we see you, dear Lord, as the light that has come into the world, the great gift. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize that tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would have the light, that we would know for sure that we have you in our heart. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this message, and that you would guide and direct my words tonight, and that you would have me to say exactly what I ought to this evening. And Lord, that you would encourage us, and that our hope is in you. We looked at that this morning, dear Lord. Our hope is only in you. And Lord, I pray that everyone in here tonight, their hope is only in you. All those that are watching by way of streaming tonight, I pray, Lord, that their hope is only in you. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us tonight. We ask all these things in thy precious and holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have the light? Now, 1 John chapter 1, we see that in verse number 5, that we see the message that is given here in the book of 1 John. Now, 1 John is written to Christians, and it is the message that we have here in verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we know who the light is. Jesus is the light of the world. He declared that in John 8:12. He said, I am the light of the world. This clear and direct statement is packed with power. Because we know, it doesn't take us very long to find out the world's a dark place. And we see many dark things happening. And you look at the news and it's Christmas Eve and I just brought up the news and I just looked at it for a minute. And it has nothing good on there. It is all the dark things that man is doing. All the darkness that's going on in our world today. I encourage you, just turn off your news and all that for the next couple of days. Amen. And focus on Jesus. Because we always have enough of that the rest of the year. But Jesus is the light. And the world is dark because of sin and because of the great deceiver, the devil. But Jesus is the light of the world. And on that night in Bethlehem, the world received the one true light. And all through the Bible, we see God present Himself in the form of light. And Jesus presents Himself as light. Look at Matthew 17, verse number 2. Matthew 17 and verse number 2. We see on the Mount of Transfiguration when He was transfigured and His glory shone. And we see an interesting description here in Matthew 17 and verse number 2. Matthew 17, verse number 2. And was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun. And His raiment was white as the what? The light. His glory shone with a bright and blinding light. We see that in Acts chapter 9, verse number 5. Look over there. On the road to Damascus, Saul was on his way there, the Apostle Paul. And he was on his way to Damascus to continue persecuting the Church of Christ. And he was stopped on that road by Jesus Christ. And how was he stopped? And we see that in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But what about this? In verse number 3, And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And we see that Jesus is the light. Light is also another synonym for truth. And we see that in the Gospels, that the light of the world is the truth. And Jesus said, He is the truth. He is the way. He is the light. He is the bread of life. He is the door. Any way you want to describe it, Jesus is it. Amen? He is the only way to heaven. And a question tonight, and I wanted to ask that question, do you have the light? Do you have Jesus? Do you have the light? And I want to share a little bit of my testimony. And I've shared parts of it, but I'm going to share a little more of it tonight. That I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And my parents taught us the gospel. My parents are saved. And I made a profession when I was 6 years old that I accepted Christ. And I remember a little bit about it. I don't remember what I prayed. Don't remember really much about it. But even though I prayed that, when I got a little older, I think it was about 10 years old, I started thinking, well, am I really saved? And I decided that because of what I had done when I was 6, that I was. And I just went back to that, and I had some questions, but always went back to that time. Well, you prayed, and people told me I prayed, and therefore I must be saved then. Since I prayed, and that was back then, I remember anything about it, that I must be saved. Well, went on. Time went on, and I just kept convincing myself, yes, I have Jesus, I have the light, but I didn't think like a saved person. I did a pretty good job of the outward appearances. You know, I didn't do the other things people did. I wasn't like the other kids. I was kind of the odd one out, and didn't do all the things they were involved in. I didn't do all the things that they did. And, you know, I said, well, that's against the rules in our house. We don't do those type of things. But inside, I said, well, I wish I could do those things. I wish I could do that. I was rebellious on the inside. All of my teenage years went through college, and the Lord was really working on me when I'm through college. And I said, oh, but every time I would come to that place when a preacher would be preaching the gospel and in chapel or in services or revival meetings or whatever, is I would have that conviction that you need to be saved. I said, oh, that's just the devil telling you that you're not saved. And that you are, just kept going back to that point. But each time I go back to that point, it would be a little more shaky. Would be a little bit more shaky. A little bit more shaky. And I couldn't, after a time, when I got 22 years old, I couldn't convince myself anymore that I was. And I said, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? And I was. What it was is I was trying to convince myself because I didn't want to face my sin. I did not want to face who I was. I didn't want to face myself as a sinner. I didn't want to face a holy God. I didn't want to rely 100% upon Jesus Christ. And tonight, I encourage you, are you sure that you have the light? Oh, I grew up in a Christian home. That's not what I asked. Oh, I've been baptized. That's not what I asked. Just because you've been baptized and grew up in a Christian home, you have some biblical truth, but you don't have the light of Jesus unless you've asked Him as to be your Savior. You may be a good person. You may have done good things. You may have gone out soul winning. You may have won people to Christ. Yes, lost people could win people to Christ. I'm a testimony of that. I've led many people to the Lord before I got saved. You know, God's Word works in everyone, whether you're saved or not. Amen? It works. That's a testament that God does the saving. We don't. Amen? We give God the glory for that. And what happens to so many people is they create artificial light. For everything that God has made that is natural, man has an artificial substitute. And what so many people do, they manufacture their own light. Man has tried to create his own spiritual light for millennia. Tried to make his own way. Tried to make his own truth. And man is not capable of creating his own light. Man thinks that he can recreate the light that can only come from God. And we see that. Look back at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Oh, I'm not a sinner. I've worked my way. I've done enough good works. I'm not a sinner. I am on my way to heaven. I have no sin. What does this verse say? That you're a liar. Then, what is it? The verse, end of verse 8. The truth is not in us. Jesus is not in us. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is not in us. The truth is not in us. We are denying the power of God. And there are many gurus out there today. And I was watching a video, no ads that pop up for a video, and it was this Indian spiritual guru guy. Just like he has his turban on and everything. I'm like, where in the world did this ad come from? You know, it just pops up there and just going through all these things and all these people, like, had an auditorium full of people, and everybody was hanging on his every word about solutions for their life. As one of these, I think it's the Sikha, I think, the Indian religion there, and he was one of these gurus, and he was just telling them, and they were hanging on every word, and as like a motivational speaker type of thing, and he was giving them, yeah, it sounded good, but it wasn't any biblical truth. It was a bunch of how to make you feel good, how to build yourself up. And there are many leaders today, there are many false doctrines that teach we can create our own light through good works. We know Ephesians 2:8-9, that it's not by works, it's by faith, lest any man should, but not of works, any man should boast. But another verse, look at Proverbs 20, verse number 9. Proverbs 20 and verse number 9. A verse that I had read, but it never fully sunk in. Proverbs 20 and verse number 9 tonight. And this is a question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sins. Who can say that? Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. And guess what the answer is to that one? No one. No one can say that. There's none righteous, no, not one. We put those two verses together. Who can say that? No one. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says that in the Old and the New Testament. There's no way for us to make ourselves clean. There is no substitute for the natural light of God's Word. There's no substitute for Jesus Christ. You know what? If we lived inside all of the time, all of us, if we lived under artificial light, this is considered artificial light, and we're thankful for it. As a pastor, you're against artificial light. No, I'm talking about artificial spiritual light. I want us to think about this for a moment. If we lived all our life in artificial light, you know what would happen? We would have developed some major health problems. Because we need the natural light of the outside. We need the natural sunlight for vitamins and for our bodies to function properly. It really is, if you look at it, that we're solar powered. We need the sun's rays and the vitamins coming from to break down and process different nutrients in our body. If we live under artificial light, eventually we will develop major health problems and actually will shorten your life. Because it's not what we need. And you know what? We can make our artificial light and we can say, hey, I have my own truth. Hey, but guess what? It won't get you to heaven. Maybe make you feel good about your life. It'll make you a good person morally in this world. But it won't get you to heaven. Why? Because of blindness. So many are deceived into thinking they are saved. I can't tell you how many people in different churches I've talked to that they have blinded themselves into thinking that they are saved. And you talk to them and you know they're not. But you can't convince them otherwise. They are convinced that they have been good enough. They are convinced that they have prayed. They focus on this, that they have done everything right that they could. That they have prayed the correct formula, sinner's prayer. That they have confessed every sin down to the last little thing. But what do all these have in common? Think about this. They focus on what man can do. I remember that. I remember calling out to God many, many times before I finally got it settled and I cried out to God and asked Him to save me. Hundreds of times. Hundreds and hundreds of times. Every time I become fearful, I just pray real quick, make sure I was okay. Not that I had lost my salvation, but every time I prayed, it was empty. There was nothing there. You know why? Because I would go down my list and pray for every single minute sin I could think of. And I would get to the end. Did I pray it right? Did I do it right? I didn't say this right. I know I didn't do this right. And you know what it was? It wasn't about me. It's about Jesus. And when we see that we go down and, well, they didn't pray right. You know, sometimes we kind of judge people a little bit. Well, they pray a salvation prayer. But hey, they didn't cover this base over here. They didn't cover this base over here. What did Peter say? Lord, save me. As if Peter said, Lord, save me. You know, some people are saved up in heaven today. And before their dying breath, that's all they had enough time to say. Lord, save me. And trust. And you know what? They weren't relying on self. When we say, well, I've got to break down the prayer and formalize it. I've got to confess every sin that I can remember. If I don't, then I'm not saved. That's relying on you. Now, not to say that we shouldn't confess our sin. Amen. And we shouldn't repent of it and call on to God. We should. But when we're trusting, well, I didn't do it right. Then if you're making it about you and not about Christ. You're making it about what you can do and not what God is going to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's blindness that comes. Jesus does the saving. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 9. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Once again, a promise is given. Could be saved. There is a 50-50 chance that if you trust in Jesus as the only door, that you're going to be saved. It's a possibility. No, it's a shall be. Shall be. It will happen if you trust in Him. Now, let's go back just over a couple of pages to John chapter 9. We're going to look at a man tonight, a man that Jesus healed, the blind man in John chapter 9. We'll read this for a moment, beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. I'm going to preach on that, by the way. I did a little study on that. I don't have time for that. That's a message for another time. If I preach on that now, we'll be here till 8. But that's important right there. When God puts it in, that's important. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, Well, this is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. And so here we see a blind man. He was born blind. He had never seen light. So he did not even know what light was. He didn't know what light was. People maybe described it to him, well, it's a brightness. He had no idea what brightness was. He was born blind. And well, all he knew is that the sun brought warmth. And that's all he knew. All he knew, he did not know what light was. Did not know what light looked like. He didn't even know how to describe it. Why? Because he was blind. Now, some people that go blind later in life, they know what light looks like. But this man did not. He was born blind. Do you know that everyone in here is like that blind man? We are also born blind, not physically, but spiritually blind. We have never seen light. We did not know how to describe spiritual light because we were born blind. If we are born spiritually blind, then how can we know how to save ourselves if we don't even know what light looks like? This is why Jesus told the Pharisees this in Matthew 15, 14. Let's look over there. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. So many deceive themselves. Why? I have the light. But if you're not trusting in Jesus, you don't even know what light is. You don't even know what you're supposed to do because you're lost. Matthew 15, verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Blind leading the blind. The Pharisees did not know God. The Pharisees trusted in their own way, but they were born in blindness just like everyone else. But they said, oh, we are enlightened. We have the truth. And it wasn't God's truth. It was their own. And they were only leading other blind people into the ditch of destruction. And here in this account, in John chapter 9, we see this is a great illustration of salvation. A wonderful illustration. This man was born blind. And Jesus heals him. And you notice how people say, well, they want to take away from the miraculous. Well, this is like that guy. He looks like him. He said, no, I'm the one. I was the one that was born blind, but now I can see. Maybe you've been able to put on a good show, but you can honestly say that you have the but can you honestly say that you have the light of Jesus Christ in your heart when you do not obey his word? When we say we love him and do nothing to help those around us, do we really love God? Do we have the light? Look back at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And every church in America has people like this. That they put on a good show, they show up in their suit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but in their heart, they are not obeying the commands of Christ. Oh, I love God, I walk in the light, but in their heart's not there. They say it with their mouth, they say it to be accepted of man, but they have no care in their heart to be accepted by God. What does the Bible say here? We lie and do not the truth. So what predicament does that place us in tonight? When I was 22 years old, I bowed my head in my dorm room and I prayed and I received the light. I didn't trust in myself. I was at the end of myself. I could do nothing on my own. I could not save myself. I was through trying all the different things, and I trusted 100% in Jesus as the only way, as the light of the world. And you know what happened? I received the light. Now, let me tell you something. This blind man here in John chapter 9, did he go around saying, well, I don't know if I can see or not. I don't know. Think about that for a moment. Oh, I don't know if, I mean, I think I can see. I mean, when you're blind, I think you can know that you can see. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. You got Pastor Ren. I got my amen section here. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Pastor Ren got in here safe. Praise God. Got in early, too. Man, that's a miracle on Christmas Eve on Delta from Atlanta. All three of those are miracles right there. So, praise in the Lord that he got here tonight. Especially Delta. That's a miracle. But that blind man, he knew that he could see. But what do we hear from so many Christians? Well, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I hope I am. I think I prayed, so I know I am. I prayed. I understand the devil brings doubt, but they don't see any change in their life. They see nothing going on in their life. They don't see any growth. They still can't understand the Bible. Guess what? You're not saved. Because when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all things are passed away. Amen? And when Jesus comes, there's a difference that happens. Guess what? When I got saved, hey, guess what? I knew I was because I had received the light. And we make this, the salvation's not a murky thing. That it is not. Amen? Now, if we're in saving here and I raise your hands, it is not a murky thing. Amen? It's not murky at all. Amen? Raise your hand if you're saved and you know it. Amen? It's not murky at all. Hey, you know you are. It's not some mystical thing. Well, I hope I am. I might be. I just don't know. No, we know that we are. You know why? Because not because we prayed the magic prayer. Not because we did everything right. But because we called upon Jesus, we threw ourselves on His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. And guess what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we received the light. And so in a moment, we're going to be lighting a candle, just like you've been handed a candle tonight. Jesus wants to hand you light into your heart. He wants to save you tonight. He wants to take away your blindness. Just look at how He took the man's physical blindness away. But won't you receive Him today? How do I receive this light? First, admit that you're blind. Admit that you're blind. Admit that you don't have it figured out. Admit that you can't do it yourself. How many of us in here tonight would take someone who is blind, sit them out in the middle of nowhere, say, find your way home? There's a man, we would never do something. That's cruel. Well, guess what? If we're out with Jesus, that's what we're doing. Trying to find our way home, trying to find our way to God, but we can't see. But Jesus is the light. Admit that you're blind. Realize that Jesus died to give you eternal life, light and life to you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of your blindness and sin, there's judgment. By humbly calling upon Jesus in repentance, you will be given sight, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you let the light of the world give you sight tonight? He wants to do it right now, but for those of us who are saved tonight, because we have the light, we have a responsibility to go to those who are blind. You know, we don't see people that way. We see them, well, they know better. No, they don't. They don't. People who have gone through all their life, and I can't think, I've mentioned it several times today, but that lady at the nursing home yesterday, in her 80s, and she was spiritually blind until yesterday, she received the light of Jesus. She goes, I knew all my life I've gone to church, and I've never been sure that I was saved until today. She received the light. Doesn't matter how young or old you are, if you can understand that you're a sinner and realize you need Jesus, then you can be saved. Amen. We make it so complicated. It's a simple thing. But I ask you now, are you sure that you have the light? Well, I hope so. Hope is not surety. Hope in the Bible means something different than we make it out to be. Especially look at hope in the New Testament. Our blessed hope. And we look at that, yes, I hope that I'm going to heaven. Hope in our English language today means uncertainty, but hope in the Bible is certainty. Our blessed hope is a sure thing. It is our earnest expectation. It is a sure thing. It's not something to flip of the coin. I might make it, I might not. No, because we trust in Jesus, and because God cannot lie, and God cannot fail, and God is perfect, we have eternal life secure tonight. But will you let the light of the world give you sight tonight? In a moment, we're going to have a hymn invitation, and then we're going to pass out the candles in a moment. But I encourage you, if you're not sure, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. It doesn't matter how long that you think you've been saved. It doesn't matter. Don't stand on pretense. Don't stand on, well, I've made decisions before. If you're still not sure, then something needs to be nailed down. I literally pray hundreds of times, over and over and over again. But none of those saved me. You know why? Because I wasn't trusting Jesus. I was trusting the prayer. I was trusting how I prayed the prayer. I was trusting how I did this afterward. I was judging it all off of what I could do. But when I got down to it, I could not rely on myself anymore. And I trusted in Jesus. Only had to pray that prayer once. And I knew I was saved. So tonight, have you prayed the prayer of faith in Jesus? Not trusting in yourself, not trusting in what you can do. Did I pray the prayer right? Did you call upon Jesus? Or were you trusting in the prayer? So many people trust in the prayer. They don't trust in Jesus. Tonight, if you've never received Him, I encourage you to do that tonight. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved this evening. Let's pray.